Hello, Summit family. Pastor Dave coming to you this 4th of July weekend, Independence Day already. I can't believe 2020 is going by so fast, and it's my privilege to come to you this weekend and share some thoughts that are on my heart. So we're just going to jump in and get right to it. And there's some things that I just wanted to briefly touch on this subject that's been a subject on my heart for about 2 years. And I hope it'll agitate your curiosity, maybe awaken your thinking in some regard. And I know ahead of time that it just might create more questions than it provides answers. And that's okay, because I hope that'll drive you into God's Word to investigate some of this stuff on your own. So to begin today, I want to simply start by asking this honest question. Are we who are the church asleep in the light? It's kind of an odd question, maybe, but it's one that I think is worth asking. And you might be saying, well, what do you mean by that? Well, God has shown us the following. He's shown us the works that He expects us to do, things like share the gospel and serve one another. He's warned us about what to watch out for, things like false doctrine, false teachers, false prophets, and things such as that. He's urged us regarding what to be ready for as we look at the signs of the times that precede His second coming and His return. But you know what I've noticed is it seems like we all go about our business focused primarily on our own cares and interests and all that's tied to this world. And that's kind of a problem. And I would submit that what we see in our world today, the evil and the unrest and the chaos, is not only a preparation for the end time events, by God's very decree, by the way, but it's also a way to break our grip that that this world has on us and that the tie that we seem to have to it, and allow us to focus our desire on our eternal home with our Lord. So indeed, I'm going to ask the question, are we asleep in the light? We have God's presence and power all around us. We've got His Word right in front of us. We've got all the power of heaven, including His Holy Spirit who resides in us. And it seems yet, with all that, we're overly focused, even as believers, on the horizontal world, but not so much on our vertical eternity, generally speaking. If you remember back several years at the infancy of Christian music, in the late 70s, early 80s, one of the prolific artists was a guy named Keith Green. And he wrote a song right around 1980 called Asleep in the Light. And he was calling the church to action. He was calling the church to wake up. And he said that we were asleep in the light. And yet now, 40 years later, I wonder if we are again asleep in the light, or maybe we're still asleep in the light. Except this time, it's a little different. Back then, he was saying maybe our collective ministry obligations were being ignored. But today, I wonder if it's not only that, but also the fact that we're asleep regarding the return of the Lord and some of the things that are happening around us now that would signal that the return is near. And I wonder if we're aware and ready for the return of our Savior. In other words, another way to say it would be this. Jesus, the bridegroom, is coming soon for His bride, who is the church. And He made this clear in Scripture. So I must ask you this. Are you excited? Would some of you say that you're ready? Or are you kind of nervous and lacking in confidence at the potential return of the Lord? Are some of you scared at the thought of end times events, even as a believer? Or is it possible that some of you are completely clueless about what I'm even talking about? Well, my observation is this, that in the church, any given church in America, all of these kinds of people, these categories of people are represented. But mostly, or maybe I should say most alarmingly, it seems to me that folks are completely unaware or completely unconcerned about this topic. They're not watching. And they're not ready. They want to go to heaven someday if you were to ask them, but it's always like, well, not yet. Or somehow we feel like it's some future event that we can just deal with later. But either way, the imminent return of the Lord escapes their notice. So what I hope to do today is awaken us a little bit on this subject. The bridegroom, Jesus, is standing right at the door, and the church must wake up. We must be awake in the light and pay attention to the signs of the times. So look at our world, look at our country. What do you see? Well, more than ever, we see consistent and increasing chaos, corruption, godlessness, lawlessness, and many flavors of evil such as the world has never known. Look at the recent events of a little virus called COVID-19, or violent groups like Antifa or other such groups. And if you look worldwide, there's many more things that would comprise evil. The work of the evil one is readily apparent. I'm sure you would agree. The headlines we read today or see on the news are full of the things that Jesus and Paul and other biblical writers spoke about. So I want to mention a few of those, but one note I want you to keep in mind. We cannot possibly fully investigate the end times events or some of these things that are in the scriptures that I'm going to go over today, or fully exposit or exegete this subject in this short time we have together. But my goal is twofold. Number one, to reacquaint you with key scriptures and provide some thoughts and references that might just motivate you to get to be thinking about this. Number two, to invest some time, gain knowledge on the subject, and then get engaged and get ready. So some key indicators that are in Scripture that I would like us to keep our eye on is this. Point number one, if you're following along in the notes, Jesus and Paul gave specific details regarding the time before His return. Now keep in mind, Jesus said that we will not know the day and the hour of this. He said that in Matthew 24:36, but He gave us a ton of information that we can look to know the season. And I'm going to assert that I believe that season is all around us and upon us even now. If we go to Matthew 24, the groundwork for the events leading up to and through the Great Tribulation and Jesus' return is being laid right now, I believe. So I want to read you some excerpts from that chapter in verses 3 through 14. Jesus is talking to His disciples and says, "As He was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately saying, 'Tell us when these things will happen, and what will be the sign of Your coming and of the end of the age?' And Jesus said to them, 'See that no one misleads you, for many will come in My name saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs." And that's a real key thing to remember here. The birth is preceded by birth pangs, and they increase and become more intense as we get closer to the birth. He continues by saying, "At that time, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures till the end will be saved." And then he concludes this section by saying this, "The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." And I just want you to think, with technology over the last 25 or 30 years, how easy it is for us to imagine how fast it's happening, that we can get the word translated into other languages and out to the 195 nations on earth with the internet, social media, and other avenues. So It's something that is very imminent, I believe. Let me take you through some excerpts from verses 33 through 44 of the same chapter, Matthew 24. He says, "When you see all these things, recognize that He is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until these things take place. Now, by the way, just a side note, the generation he's talking to was not the one he was speaking to at the time he said this, but it was the generation who would be seeing these things and experiencing these things. Some have postulated that it's the same generation who would be alive today from the time in 1948 when the peoples of Israel were scattered and came back to their nation when Israel became a nation in 1948. 2 years ago, in 2018, they celebrated their 70-year anniversary of that. So what's a generation? Something to think about. He continues by saying, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. For this reason, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will." Very key. So these signs have been cited for centuries, wars and pestilences and nations against nations and all these kinds of things. But just as with birth pains, as I mentioned a minute ago, it's not that they've happened before, but they're happening now with greater frequency and intensity. If you look at any of the science and statistics on things like natural disasters, world economic issues, and biblical signs themselves, you can see they're happening closer together and with greater intensity. And therefore, you can see the great analogy Jesus uses about childbirth. And as that happens, we're getting close. In Luke 21, in regard to the signs of the end times and the coming of the Son of Man in a cloud with great power and glory, we see some more words on this. I'll just quote verses 28 and 36 of Luke 21. "But when these things begin to take place, straighten up, look up, basically, and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh," or draws near. Now understand, he didn't say when it happens. He says when it begins. And I would submit that we've seen things that would qualify for that kind of thing beginning, these signs that we're talking about. He continues by saying, "But keep on alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Pretty sobering words. And then those are what Jesus had mentioned when he was talking to the disciples. But what if we shift over to what Paul was saying to his protege, Timothy, when he was talking to Timothy near the end of Paul's life, and he gave some characteristics of the last days in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm just going to read to you verses 1 through 5. Listen to this list. It's staggering. "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. They'll be malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power." And then the admonition, "Avoid such men as these." So the bottom line here, point number one, is look around, observe the signs, be alert, be watchful, and look up in anticipation of Jesus' return. Point number two, the groundwork for the time of tribulation in regard to the nation Israel is being laid right now. If we had time and walked through Ezekiel chapter 38, we see that nations are preparing to invade Israel in the end times. In this chapter, we see a coalition of nations, and many of them listed are by their ancient names. Some are by the names of current day names. This coalition to include modern day nations like Turkey, Iran, Syria, and quite likely Russia, because they're in the far north above Israel, will combine forces to invade Israel from the north. And it says to capture the spoils. What's interesting about that is these spoils or riches or resources are believed to be primarily the immense natural gas resources that Israel has recently acquired. And once they have possessed these things, their intention was to sell them to European countries. Well, this is going to undercut the Russian economy because Russia sells their oil, natural gas rather, reserves to the European countries right now. And so that's going to be a very dangerous thing, possibly bankrupting their economy. And additionally, they have their eyes set on Israel's superior technology and their intellectual property. So these nations, by the way, have recently, in just the recent last couple of years, have formed an alliance with one another. And all of them have a presence in one form or another in Syria right now. A few years ago, we couldn't say that. We would reference it as, oh, this, when this happens, pay attention. Now we can say it's happening. But what's interesting about this is that in verse 14 through 23, we see God coming to the rescue of Israel, not the U.S. We're allied very close with the with Israel right now, but for some reason that's not explained in Scripture, the U.S. is absent. And God makes it clear in verse 23 what He's doing. I will magnify myself, sanctify myself. I will make myself known in the sight of many nations, and they will know that I am the Lord. So whatever He's going to do as He comes in to protect His people Israel from the invading coalition of nations, it's going to be crystal clear that something supernatural is happening, providing a protection that Israel otherwise would not have been able to withstand. Amazing stuff. In Zechariah 12, this chapter also reinforces God's deliverance of Israel in this time, turning their hearts toward God. And so you can read that and study about that on your own. But the bottom line here in point number two is that one thing is clear. God loves the nation Israel, and He's not finished with them yet. And He's going to use this tribulation time to remove their blindness, the spiritual blindness that they've had for almost 2,000 years. And He's going to turn them toward the Lord, and He's going to redeem His chosen people. And if the ground, now think about this, if the groundwork is clearly visible now for those events, then how far off can the Lord's return be? Jesus' arrival for His bride, the church, is closer than we think. And I have to ask you, are you ready? Something to think about. Point number three, Jesus the bridegroom, I just mentioned this, is coming for His bride, the church. Much prophecy is left to be fulfilled in the future. However, no other prophecy remains to be fulfilled before Jesus can come for His bride. I take you now to 1 Thessalonians 4, and it's just kind of a heading I put on this. Be encouraged and comforted. The bridegroom is coming for His bride, the church. If we look at verses 15 through 18, we read this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Now, in this context, falling asleep means the people who have died in their faith beforehand. And it says, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up in the air, caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, this is referred to as the rapture of the church, and there are scholars of all kinds who may debate the various aspects of this and whatnot, but either way, the fact remains that Jesus is coming soon for His bride, and the bottom line here is to get ready, then get excited. Get ready and then get excited. The fullness of your redemption is so very near. Those are some of the things I wanted to share with you today from Scripture to reacquaint you with those things and hopefully motivate you to move into a place where you will go investigate these Scriptures, pray over them, ask God to give you what you need. And so as we conclude this message today, I would just like you to bow your heads with me, and I'd like to pray for you, and I'd just like to have you ponder these things in prayer and maybe just in the quietness of your mind, talk to God about these things. God, we just thank you for our time today. We thank you for your blessed word. We thank you for the amazing gift of your word. And for all who are listening, Lord, there's going to be people who are in different places. I want to ask you to touch the heart of folks who have possibly not an authentic salvation in the finished work of your son Jesus on the cross. They may not have accepted his gift of forgiveness of their sin and eternal life. And Lord, we know that without this, they will be left behind. The Bible says that they're hostile towards you, even though it may not feel like that. So I pray that you'd move in their hearts to say yes to Jesus and to submit themselves to you. For others, Lord, it's their daily focus. It's too much tied to this world. It's on this world rather than their eternal home. It's not focused on the coming of the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would help shift their focus and help them turn their desire towards you in this way. Lord, and yet there are others who need to discover what you're asking for them to do for your kingdom in the time we have left. What specifically would you have them do? God, we understand that all these things are critical and we need your help. We're a people who just want to respond to and obey your word, and we want to get ready. We want to be excited. We want to look forward to your coming with confidence. We want to be ready. We want to get prepared. Help us in that regard, Lord. Help these people. Help me as we look forward to your coming, as we say together, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great week.